We've been talking about loving higher, and this whole idea has come through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus came and taught people what it means to be kingdom people. Not, if you do this, I'll love you. If you do this, you'll be my people. He's like, no, since I love you and since you're my people, you're my disciples, this is what it looks like to live for me. So hear this and do this, right? And so I'm excited to be able to say to you that this all comes as a result of what we've seen in our country and in our world of this strong desire to get back to normal. And I'm trying to tell you, and I know that all of us here at the church have been trying to tell you, we want to go beyond normal. We don't want to just get back to normal. There's some good things with normalcy. But a lot of times what we mean and what we love about normalcy is comfort and ease and, you know, just not having to struggle. And, you know, I've had some caffeine this morning and I'm really thankful for it. But it also does a number on my body, not just like to the bathroom. And you're like, well, that's too much. If you don't know me, that's not even nearly too much. But what it's done for me is to help kind of wake me up a little bit, trigger some thoughts for me. It's allowed me to be grateful and thankful and also desire water because I had cotton mouth. Right? Because coffee only has so much water in it. But here's what I want to say about that. Normal for me has changed in the past 6 months. Body-wise, mind-wise, heart-wise, life-wise. But what hasn't changed is Jesus. He's beyond normal. And so I'm excited to be able to tell you that he's beyond normal, but he's always consistent. Some of you are like, dude, make up your mind. What is it? Yes. He's both. He's beyond normal, and he's the most normal, consistent you're ever going to have. And so with that, we're going to talk today about two foundations. We love choice in America. We actually love it as human beings, whether we're American or not, but especially America. We want options. And you have them. We have them. You guys had options this morning. Wake up or stay in bed. Food or no food, water, coffee, juice, milk. Some of you like have children that they need milk to live. That wasn't really a choice, but you had to choose to take care of them in that way. There's so many choices, and there's two choices. And we've kind of talked about this in the last few weeks. There's two kinds of roads, right, that we talked about, the wide road that leads to destruction. There's two gates as well. As a wide gate, many people find themselves there, and it is a wide path that leads to destruction. And then the other one was a narrow gate and a narrow path, and it leads to life. You don't earn it. You see it. You see that it's Jesus, and he's life, and you follow him, and you walk in it. Last week, Casey did such an amazing job. If you weren't here, please go back and listen to it. But it's about not being fooled. And he also, in that message, right, talked about two kinds of trees and two kinds of fruit. I guess what I'm trying to get at is that this idea of choice and option and multiple choice was God's idea in the first place. Like, you get to choose. I get to choose. And so today we're going to talk about two foundations, and it's what do you choose to build your life on? So let's go for it. We're going to go back to Matthew 5, as a matter of fact, where all this started 16 weeks ago. Matthew 5. If you have Bibles, please open them up. If it's on your phone, sweet. We do have an app for that, but there's also a screen here. Some people have gotten to the point that an actual book is just super weird. And I'm kind of retro, I guess. I like this. I also like that I could be anywhere, say, at a Mariners game, and looked on my phone, and there was my Bible. It was cool. Sitting in line, reading the Bible. I was waiting for somebody to ask me what I was reading. I probably should have just said, check this out. I've got room for improvement. But here you go, Matthew 5, 1 through 2. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. Please note two different groups of people, crowds and disciples. You get to choose which one you're going to be. Are you interested in Jesus or are you following him? So they all came and sat, and he opened his mouth. I love this. Every word that comes out of his mouth is gold. But he opened his mouth and he taught them. And then he said a bunch of stuff that we've already talked about. What it means to be blessed, what it means to have some problems. And we tend to look at the list of blessings that he said as more problems than opportunities and blessing. But he's like, look, it's all about the kingdom, and you're blessed when you're in my kingdom. And there's a lot of challenges being in God's kingdom, especially the main challenge of we wouldn't quite do it that way. That's not how I would do it. I wouldn't build up people's faith by having this opportunity for division. I wouldn't build up people's faith by this opportunity to be afraid of death so much that you don't even talk about life. You just keep talking about death. And then Jesus concludes what we understand as the Sermon on the Mount, this big, long section of teaching, but it's really only two chapters, and the chapters aren't that long, but he concludes it with a call out, really. He concludes it with a wake-up call. He concludes it with a, what are you choosing? And here we go, Matthew 7, and we'll go 24 through 27. Everyone, look, I'm not a Greek scholar. I did not look this particular word up, not this time, but I have looked it up in the past. And it means everyone, right? I know, I mean, it's such like, okay, pastor jokes and dad jokes. And I'm a grandpa, so I mean, gosh, there's just so many things that you have to deal with when it comes to jokes, but that's not even a joke. I really mean it. This means everyone. So if you're here, if you're listening, even if you're not here or listening, which would they even know? I don't know. But everyone then who hears these words of mine, remember every word that comes out of the mouth of God, right? That's what we live on, Jesus said in Matthew 4. That's the hope that we have. He's the living word. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Today, I'm not even going to talk to you about the fact, really, that Jesus is that rock. Because he is. I mean, that's kind of simple, right? But whatever, whether it's simple to you or not, he is the rock that was denied by all these leaders, but he was actually the cornerstone of the kingdom of God. So anyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. That's one foundation. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock, his teaching and him. Look, rains are going to come. Wind is going to blow. Floods are going to happen. In this world, Jesus said, you'll have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome this world. It's going to happen. It's been happening. It's been said that you're either in crisis, just got out of crisis, or getting ready to go into crisis, right? And that seems like that's pretty negative or real, right? I mean, whether it's crisis, because some are like, I have no crisis. My God holds me in the palm of his righteous right hand. Yes, you're right. And I hope that lasts for you all the time. Because ultimately, really, challenges are a question of where is your life built on. I love that the house was built before all of the challenges came. Here's a different foundation. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. But isn't that like beachfront property. It's gorgeous. No foundation, but it is pretty. So the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew, Jesus says, and it beat against that house also, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Can we look at these things that Jesus said really quick? Everyone who hears these words of mine. If you've heard the words of Jesus, and there are still some people in this world that haven't, we should make the most out of going to tell everybody. Start with those closest to you, and then go out from there. We are saturated in this culture with the word of God, but I'm here to tell you, our culture doesn't look like that. How about people that actually hear these words and do something about it, not just ignore it? There's a man who passed away, I believe it was in 2017, named Ian Campbell. He was Scottish, and he wrote a lot of different books. He was a Presbyterian pastor, priest, and he wrote a commentary on the book of Matthew called Opening Up Matthew. He said this: the distinction here is not between those who hear Jesus and those who don't, but between those who hear and obey and those who hear but don't obey. I'm going to tell you something tragic about Reverend Campbell. He killed himself. And the strong evidence is that he was super unfaithful to his wife. And he taught the word like a champion. He just lost sight of doing it. Jesus' little brother, James, who I've quoted quite a bit in the last few weeks. And so if you're like, gosh, man, there's other books in the Bible. We'll get to that next week. But James in James 1, 22 through 25 gives us an invitation to be hearers and doers. But be doers of the word, James says. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Well, I heard it. I get it. I grew up as a Christian. I asked my friend one time, hey, have you given your life to Christ? He used a curse word and said, yeah, like six times. I'm like, it's cool, man. Why don't you actually live that stuff out? Don't just talk about it. He says, don't just hear it, but do it. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and then goes away and at once forget what he looks like. Anybody? You done that? Looked in the mirror? Getting ready for whatever? Prom, work, going shopping? Look, it's not just a lady thing. It's a dude thing. You look. Then you get outside. Sorry, you can't see me, but you can still hear me. Get outside and you look into your window on your car. And it's still there. Doggone it. Maybe it'll come back in a different way. I mean, you forget and you check. And when I had hair, whew, all the time. That's probably why God said, now we're done here. We're done here. But if you just hear the word and you don't do anything about it, you forget it. You and I forget it. At this very second, I'm wondering, Hayden, if you're worried that you're going to go bald. Probably not. In the name of Jesus, your grandpa did that for you, so you're good. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Like, let's do something about it. Let's live it out. Let's actually live like this is real. When you hear and you do, you remember and you keep in it. You persevere. You know that I'm going to make it. You see, we find out that these foundations that we build our lives on get exposed when challenges come. And if you find yourself terrified, petrified, ignoring God or crying out to him, I wish I could trust you more and I'm sorry that I didn't, and you got all these things going on, then God's exposing what's happening, and maybe you haven't built your life on that foundation, or maybe you did and you forgot it, and he's trying to remind you, hey, this is solid. Look, it wasn't too long ago that we were able to go on a vacation to Florida, and we were on all kinds of rides, and they were crazy rides. Like the kind where I have to take medicine just to probably look at them. But then to get on them, the really cool thing that kept my heart going was a couple of things. I'm going to be with Jesus forever, no matter what happens to me. And those things were built on foundation. So the roller coasters were nuts. But the ground was there. And I really thanked God for it. I almost kissed it one time. Then I was like, gosh, there's a lot of people that have walked on this ground. But I found myself thinking about this. It's like, look, when you go out and you live your life and it's crazy and it's got these topsy-turvy things that happen, when you know God, you've built your life on him, you're going to be okay. Dear friend, you're not just going to be okay. You're going to flourish and not just in heaven someday. Take me now, Jesus. Calgon, take me away, right? I mean, but instead of that, you're like, no, I've got it now. And that's why I practice it now. And that's why I live it now. Because now is where my foundation counts as well. Do you know that eternity began for you when you recognize that God is God and you're not? And you started to build your life on him. He did all that for us. So I'm going to sum up the Sermon on the Mount with these three words: hearing and doing. He's like, man, I came to speak to all of you. What group are you in? You get to hear me invite, and then you get to do something with it. Either build it on yourself or on the world system and all that, which is sand. Or you build it on Jesus, who's the rock. Two foundations. I'm going to finish with a few things here. Dr. Tony Evans, one of my favorite preachers, teachers, husbands, fathers, grandfather, says this: wisdom is the ability and willingness to apply spiritual truth to life circumstances. I'll say it again. Wisdom is the ability and willingness to apply spiritual truth to life circumstances. Foolishness is unwillingness to do so. I find that it's very rarely we don't know how to. I find more often that we don't want to. There are some things that we're unfamiliar with, but God is God and we're not. Foundational. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. Foundational. I have come that you may have life, Jesus says, and have it to the full. Foundational. Well, how does that help me if I'm going to get kicked out of my house? He's got you and he loves you. There's people around you in the name of Jesus who can help and should help. Foundational. What if they miss it? What if I get sick? What if I lose my job? What if I don't have the girl that I wanted? What if the girl that I wanted leaves me hanging? What if the guy that I wanted is a punk? Uh-oh, somebody's feeling that one. Jesus isn't any of those things. He's foundational. The wind's going to come. The rain's going to go. The floods are going to happen. The beating will begin. And you will stand in Jesus' name. This is hope. This is living hope. Jesus didn't just die. Good dude. Bad ending. No, he rose from the dead. Friend, you have living hope. This is so wonderful. So I'm going to ask you not to be foolish and be unwilling to build your life on him. And don't do it when you get all of your ducks in a row, when you get all of your dreams come true. Follow him now. Follow him before things go awry. But here's a gift of challenge. It will challenge you to find out, where's my foundation? We'll finish with the rest of what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, 28 and 29. I say finish. I actually have a psalm after this, but okay, here we go. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished. This is more than the word astonished. It's more than the word amazed. It really does mean that they were overwhelmed. Now, remember, there was crowd and disciples. The word here is that the crowds were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Do you remember the scribes, the Pharisees, the rulers? Jesus said, your righteousness, and we talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount, your righteousness needs to surpass theirs. The only way that happens is Jesus. Casey said last week, to know whether you're on the fake or on the real is God's word. How many of you even knew, don't raise your hand, how many of you even knew that we had a reading plan? How many of you know that when we're reading the word of God to you, it isn't like we pick it up on Sunday morning and go, oh, this ought to be good. Oh, I underlined that 5 years ago when I was really into it. Let's try that. We're not perfect, but we're reliant. We actually dig Jesus, and we believe him. And we've been challenged all year, just like you, to build our life on him. Not on what the government says, not on what our Christian friends say, not on what our fear says. We're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're living it out based on him. Gosh, I'm super jacked up about all this. The righteousness that these people had learned seemed really unattainable because their religious leaders were so much better than them. Jesus, literally the spokesman of God, because he's God in the flesh, came and spoke to them and said, it's actually way harder than you could ever imagine. And you're just going to need me, and I love you, and I want you, and here I am. Build your life on me and watch me figure all this out. But you and I have to build our lives on him. Psalm 127 is my favorite psalm, and yes, it ends with talking about anybody who has this bumper crop of kids is blessed. If you don't know me, I have 11 children. And so I could just be cherry picking this one and go, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. I have 11 kids. What do you have, five? Good start. That's not why I love Psalm 127. I love it for the very beginning of it. And then it flows into that. Psalm 127, 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Look, there's people who believe that love is the most important thing. And you would think, yes, man, they're on, because Jesus said so too. But they don't build their house or life on the love of God. They don't love higher. They love lower. Well, I just want to make sure you and I are good. I want to make sure that nothing bad happens. I want to make sure that nobody makes you feel bad about bad choices. I want to make sure that you, and these are now Christians who have actually built their life on the foundation of God, I want to make sure you feel bad about everything bad you've done. Like the Holy Spirit can't do his job. How about we actually follow God, and that's convicting enough. I'm a pastor, and people know it in this little tiny community. I was at the playground over at Osprey, and these kids, I mean, it was foul what they were talking about. And it was pretty loud. And I finally just went, can you guys watch it? Will you please stop? My babies are here. They're my grandbabies. But I'm like, can you please stop? Oh, yeah, sorry. They just kind of did one of these. And then this one kid says, he's a pastor. Sorry, pastor. I'm like, bro, you don't have to be sorry to me, and you don't have to bow to me. But you will have to bow someday. And it's not to me. And he's probably like sixth grade, and he did one of these. You guys, be who Jesus called you to be by following him and believing him. Will you blow it? Anybody besides me who's blown it today alone? Anybody? Half of us have blown it today. Anybody besides me blown it this week? Okay, still about a third of us. You guys are liars, so you blew it. Blew it. No, but for real, that's not what's the biggest thing about us is that we blow it. The biggest thing about Christians is that they're saved. They're held. We are saved. We're held. We're loved. We couldn't earn it. We can't lose it. We're on a firm foundation. Build. Go for it. Hear and do. Here's a question for you. What or whom are you building your life upon? Are you going beyond normal? Are you loving higher? These people were astonished, amazed, overwhelmed by Jesus' teaching. I don't know what all of them did with it. You and I can be convicted on a Sunday morning. We can be convicted on a Bible study. We can be overwhelmed by circumstances and find Jesus in it. And then somehow, inexplicably, go and build our lives somewhere else. But God's so good. He allows repentance. And he say, look, you are actually built on the rock. So live like it. We have that opportunity. There's questions that we have on our app. I'd love for you to check those out. I'd love for you to consider this idea of not just being interested in Jesus, but actually empowered by him. That, I believe, is a difference of foundation. Everyone who heard his words and ignored them were foolish. Everyone who heard his words and lived by them were wise. That's the opinion of Jesus, and I agree with it. I pray in Jesus' name that we would be wise people building our lives on him. Father, that's my hope. That's my dream. I know that you've got the future already figured out, so may we trust you and believe you no matter what comes our way. May we not be like grabbers and greedy. May we be givers and generous, just like you are. May we know that you love us and have it all figured out. May we trust you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, some of you may have sat all the way through this and you're finally hearing something from God. He's calling you. If you want to love him and to follow him, it's because he loved you and paid for you first. And so he's calling you. It's as simple as submitting your life to him. Like, God, you're God and I'm not. I believe that you died for me, Jesus, and that I needed somebody to pay that price. And I believe that you rose from the dead and I want to build my life on you. Tell him that right now and he takes you where you're at. But baby, he does not leave you there. He lets you live that out. Be strong and courageous and let it be contagious. I'll see you next week.